for this morning. And God, I thank you for your presence in this place. I thank you for who you are. I thank you that you are so incredibly good. And I thank you, God, that you desire relationship. You desire personal relationship with each and every one of us. And so, God, I just ask that whatever it is that is on your heart this morning, that would just continue to be poured out, and that you would just continue to saturate and just continue to have your way in this place. We just love you and we thank you in your name, Jesus. Amen. All right. So, during worship, I think I'm going to go to Mark. I think that's where I'm going. I think I'm going to Mark chapter 4. I thought I was going to be in Genesis, but I don't think I am. I think I'm going to Mark chapter 4. I think it's 4. Let me find it here. Yeah, here we go. Mark chapter 4, verses 35 through 38. So, in worship this morning, right, God was calling us to rest and into a place of rest. And I don't know if you could sense that, but it was like just this overwhelming desire on the heart of God for his children to find rest. And to find rest in him. And so I was thinking, okay, God, what, you know, and immediately I was taken to Google, because I have found that since I've gotten out of Bible college and Google is so good, I can just type in a phrase and then it tells me where it's at in the scripture. So even if I've forgotten where it's at, it's like I Google and I put in a phrase and it's like, oh, Mark chapter 4, right, that's where it's at. So I Googled that and it took me to Mark chapter 4. And it says, late that day he said to them, let's go across to the other side. They took him in the boat as he was. Other boats came along, a huge storm came up, waves poured into the boat, threatening to sink it. And Jesus was in the stern, head on a pillow, sleeping. So, I felt like God was saying that there's a place in him, there's a place in his presence that we can come that will bring us rest no matter what is crashing on around us. And that's why the presence of God is so incredibly important. And you know, learning how to rest in his presence. Because if we allow the things that are going on around us, crashing us, if we allow them, they will overtake us. They will overwhelm us. It says here, though, that it was threatening. Waves poured into the boat, threatening to sink it. So, there's a place in God where we can get to, where, not even get to, I think it's just an awakening to, because we're already there, right? The Bible says everything that Jesus did, it's done. And it's really just us awakening to the realization that everything that we need has already been provided and everything is already ours. It's just taking ownership of that. It's just grabbing a hold of it as our own. You know, maybe this does connect. Let's go to Genesis. I love God. So Genesis 26, I don't know how this is going to connect, but I think it's going to connect. God appeared to him and said, don't go down to Egypt. Stay where I tell you. Stay here in this land, and I'll be with you and bless you. I'm giving you and your children all these lands, fulfilling the oath that I swore to your father Abraham. I'll make your descendants as many as the stars in the sky and give them all these lands. All the nations of the earth will get a blessing for themselves through your descendants. And why? Because Abraham obeyed my summons and kept my charge, my commands, my guidelines, my teachings. So Isaac stayed put. The men of the place questioned him about his wife, and he did all that and said she's his sister, just like his dad did. Isaac said, because I thought I might get killed by someone who wanted her. And then Abimelech said, but think of what you might have done to us. Given a little more time, one of us might have slept with your wife. You would have been responsible for bringing guilt down on us. Then he gave his orders that no one touch his wife. And then Isaac planted crops in that land and took a huge harvest. God blessed him. The man got richer and richer by the day until he was wealthy. He accumulated flocks and herds and servants. So the Philistines began to envy him, and they got back at him by throwing dirt and debris into all the wells that his father's servants had dug back in the day, Abraham clogging up all the wells. Finally, Abimelech told Isaac, leave, you've become far too big for us. So Isaac left, and he camped in the valley and settled down there. Isaac dug again the wells which were dug in the days of his father Abraham, but had been clogged up by the Philistines after Abraham's death, and he renamed them using the original names his father had given them. Now, how does this tie together? I'm not 100% sure, but it's this. It's awakening and a realization. Isaac had to own the promises of Abraham. Isaac had to not just say, no, that was just a promise to my father. No, that was a promise to my father that I am going to see fulfilled in and through my life, and I have to take ownership of it, and I have to do something with it. So what did he do? He listened to God, and God said, stay here, and I'm going to fulfill the promise that I gave to Abraham, and I'm going to fulfill it. And it's from generation to generation to generation, and each generation has to own it. Each generation has to take a hold and say, this is my inheritance. This is my promise. Yes, it may have been given to the generation before me, but it's also mine. And if this generation didn't see that promise fulfilled, then I'm going to hold on to it until I see it fulfilled. And if I don't see it fulfilled, I pray to God that I instilled in the generation beneath me that they will hold on until they see it fulfilled. Oh, ha. Because God's heart is all about fulfilling his promises. His desire is to fulfill every promise that he spoke. Because he's a promise keeper. He keeps his promises. Never once. Maybe I misinterpreted, and maybe I misunderstood, and maybe I didn't understand correctly, but he has never, never not kept a promise. He's so good. And if you just keep reading, he just digs up these wells and he renames them, and whatever's going on around him, then he names it that. One was Quarrel because there were people fighting over the well. Then he went on, and one was Accusation, and he dug another well, but there was no fighting over this one, so he named it Wide Open Spaces. Oh, we want that well. And what if he'd stopped? What if he had stopped at the Quarrel? Then that well would have been dug, and what if he would have stopped? What if he would have stopped at the accusation? What if he would have stopped at the accusation of, you can't do this. There's too much trouble. There's too much fighting. There's too much trial and tribulation, and there's too much. What if Isaac would have stopped? One more. Wide open spaces. Saying, now God has given us plenty of space to spread out in the land. And again, That very night, God appeared to him and said, I am the God of Abraham, your father. Don't fear a thing because I am with you. I will bless you and make your children flourish because of Abraham, my servant. Isaac built an altar there and prayed, calling to God by name. He pitched his tent and his servants started digging another well. Then Abimelech came to him and his advisor and the head of his troops. Isaac asked them, why did you come to me? You hate me. You threw me out of your country. They said, we've realized that God is on your side. We'd like to make a deal between us, a covenant, that we maintain friendly relations. We haven't bothered you in the past, and we treated you kindly and let you leave us in peace. So God's blessing be with you. Isaac laid out a feast, and they ate and drank together. Early in the morning, they exchanged oaths. Then Isaac said goodbye, and they parted as friends. Later that same day, Isaac's servants came to him with news about the well they had been digging. We've struck water. Isaac named the well Oath. That's what the name of this city, Beersheba, is to this day. So, when we grab a hold of the promises, when we grab a hold and we take ownership of them for ourselves, and it's not just something that our fathers or our mothers or our grandfathers or our grandmothers or somebody talked about long ago, it's when we can grab a hold of that and own it. This is my promise, and there's wells for me to maybe redig, and there's wells for me to dig. There's wide open spaces for me to dig back up. There's water to be found. There's wells to be dug. There's things. There's places for us to go. There's things, and there's God's promises and desires for all of us. But they won't be without quarrel. They won't be without accusation. They won't be without the storms and the things crashing, which is why it is so important that we find a place in his presence of rest. It's why it's so important that we find that place in him where we can be in the midst of the storm and we can be sleeping and someone comes up around us and says, why are you sleeping? And then we can step into the authority that Jesus has given us and say, winds, waves, stop. So everybody can have a little rest. Ha, huh, right? Because that's what he did. And then he's like, who is this man that even the winds and the seas and the waves obey him? Who is he? He's the living, breathing God that lives and breathes inside of us. That's who he is. And we just need to awaken to the realization of who he is in us and who we are in him. And when we partner with him, we're gonna dig up some wells. Wide open spaces. Ha, wide open spaces. Wide open. Wide open. No and nothing and no one hindering. Wide open spaces. An oath. I think an oath is something that you make, and that there is an oath is something that you make and that you keep. And I believe Isaac was saying here, God has kept his promise. I'm naming this place the Oath Well. This is the promise. God keeps his promises. He's a promise keeper, and I just want to encourage you guys this morning that there is a place of rest in him that will. It doesn't mean the storms weren't going on. It doesn't mean that the waves weren't crashing in and threatening to sink the boat. I'm not saying that we pretend this fake thing, but I do believe there is a place in God of rest that transcends everything that's going on around you. that there's a knowing deep inside that even when everything else is shaking and everything else is being threatened and everything else, there's a place of just this deep rootedness and knowing that no matter what our nation, no matter what is going on, no matter what's going on around us, there's this knowing that God is in control. Not even in control. God is just God. God is God, right? He's just God because he's not this manipulating controller. Like, he gives us free will and he gives us desires and he allows us and he allows us to be free. He's not, because if he was, I'm sure our world would look a lot different if he was controlling, right? I know it would. So I just, yeah, be encouraged. Be encouraged today that God keeps his promises. So God, I ask that you take us deeper into the things of you. Awaken us to the things of you that we need to be awakened to. God, every day I ask that you would just awaken something inside of us to a revelation and an understanding of who you are and who we are. And also, God, awaken us to what's going on in this season and what are we to be doing in this season. And God, I just ask that you just open up the eyes of our understanding, give us ears to hear and hearts to receive what it is you are saying and what it is you are doing. Because God, we do desire to be an extension of you, and we do desire, God, to partner with you and to see everything that you have desired, God, for your creation. God, we desire to see it brought forth and brought into being. God, we desire to see your heart released into the earth. So God, I ask that you just saturate every person here. Saturate them so heavily, God, that they would just be so incredibly saturated with you. Everywhere that they go, every place that they step their foot, God, would just be saturated. That the ground that they step would just be, they would be releasing saturation of who you are and saturation of your word and your love and your grace and your mercy. And it would just be released into the ground and it would begin to change. It would begin to change the atmosphere, that it would begin to change the places that we step and the places that we go. I just thank you for who you are, God, and I just thank you for your people. I thank you for your body. I thank you that you love us. I thank you that you desire so much more for us. And I thank you that we will have it. I thank you that we will walk in the fullness of what you have called us to walk in. And I thank you that we will walk in the fullness of who we are in you. We just love you and thank you in your name, Jesus. Amen.